not used to this kind of a microphone. Delighted to have you with us. The reason I have this one instead of the tack on is I'm not teaching tonight. I'm getting a break, so a couple of announcements for you. One of them I'm really excited about. Most of you know Steve Babko. He's our Messianic Jewish pastor that oftentimes speaks here, and we do the prophecy conference here every year together. I've been going through the affiliation process with Calvary Chapel, and today he called me from San Diego, and he is now affiliated with Calvary Chapel. He's the first Jewish Messianic Calvary Chapel, and he is so excited. Steve's an excitable guy anyway, right? You should see him now. It's like there'll probably be an APB on the news tonight, some crazy Jewish guy going down the freeway. So that's really, I'm really excited about it. We've been going through the process for about 6 months now. And he's the pastor of Ohav Shalom over in Cathedral City. So people say, a Jewish Christian? Yeah. The first church was 100% Jewish. A lot of people don't realize that. We came along later. The gospel came to the Jew first and then to the Gentile. And so we owe a lot to the Jewish people. Isn't that great? What else do we have here? This Saturday, 6 o'clock right here, Obama 2016. It was at the theaters, and now we have it on DVD. We're going to show it here. It's not bashing him. It's just showing his background, his roots, and I think this is very, very important. And so we'll have popcorn and some drinks, and we'll be here 6 o'clock on Saturday. Men's conference is full, and so sorry, guys, if you didn't get signed up for that one. We'll do it again next year. So what else do we have? I'm a great fan of Cops on TV. I was watching Bad Boy, What You Gonna Do, you know. That was my BC days. And they have a PIT movement, P-I-T. Tonight we have a PIT movement. We have a pastor in training. And all of you know Ryan. And he is not only a PIT, but he's a HIT. What's the HIT? That's husband in training. Because I'm also taking him through premarital counseling with Tara. That's his fiance on his right there, our left. So he's got the PIT and the HIT going, the pastor in training, and he's got the husband in training thing. So keep them in prayer. January 19th is their wedding day. Can I get a little bit more volume here, Gary? Check one, two. Okay. And so we're to train up our replacements in ministry. We never know what God is going to do. Ryan has been on staff here for a couple of years now. He's been going through the process to become a pastor one day. He failed the psychological exam, so that means he is called into ministry because you got to be crazy to do what we do. Wonderful young man, loves the Lord. He's submissive to leadership. He obeys the word of God. And it's a blessing and a pleasure to be discipling him for ministry. Chuck Smith has always told us, if you can teach third graders, you can teach adults, because preaching the gospel is simply teaching God's word simply. You don't have to be a seminarian and use all these big words. And it's wonderful that God trains up and uses those of us, myself included, that are the foolish things of the world. And God gets glorified through people like Ryan and myself and others. Ryan taught yesterday at the senior center, senior home. He taught last weekend with either the tweens or the teens. He is our youth group leader, and so God uses him in a tremendous way around here. So anyway, I won't take a shot at you, Ryan. We love Ryan, and we're excited to see what God's going to do in his life and with his new wife one day, Tara. So come on up, Ryan, and feed your sheep. Feed God's sheep here tonight. Notes, and I said to Randy, should I kind of hide Ryan's notes on him? But I left them there for you. Blessed are.
There we go. We're on. All right. Well, thank God that it's not the notes that we rely on, but it's the power of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. And thank you for the encouragement, Joe. It's been a blessing. To be under a pastor like Pastor Joe Coleman, and not lifting his name up, but we are truly blessed to have a pastor in our midst. And so this evening we're going to be going into the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 37. Before we get into the Word, if anybody needs a Bible, we'd love you to go through God's Word with us. So if you need a Bible, just slip your hand up and one of the ushers will bring you one. You're welcome to keep it, mark it up, return it. If you need one, just slip your hand up and the ushers will get one to you. Everybody's got their Bibles. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Ezekiel chapter 37 this evening. You know, with a lot of crazy stuff coming into the church in this day and age, you have the emerging church, you've got the purpose-driven, and, you know, all these, what they are is they're false doctrines that they're teaching. Creeping into the church, misguiding people, misleading people, and they're doing this in the name of Jesus. And this evening we're going to see a young man, about 30 years old, by the name of Ezekiel, who dealt with a similar situation in the church and with the believers at that time. They were filled with false prophets, false prophecies, false hope, and false regeneration, because there's only regeneration through the Word of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so we're going to read tonight what this young man, this prophet and a priest, although he never got the chance to get to the temple and perform that duty, but he was a priest. As prophet Ezekiel, we're going to see what this young man had to deal with and what the Lord showed him through visions. So let us open up in a word of prayer and see what the Lord has for us. Father, we are so grateful to be here tonight, Lord. We are so grateful, Lord, that you've saved us. And Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you would show yourself in your word tonight, Lord. As we just rest our hearts tonight, Lord, we just ask that you would cleanse our hearts, forgive us of our sins, Lord. Let us have ears to hear tonight, Lord. Let us have hearts to receive what your word has for us. As we go through your word, Lord, may we see the prophetic statements, but Lord, above all, help us to see the practical statements in here, the ones that we can apply to our life as we try to draw closer and closer to you, Lord. Would you help us change, Lord? Would you help us? We want to see Jesus. We love you and we praise you, Father. And we just ask that you, the Good Shepherd, would feed your sheep tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Just a brief background of Ezekiel. The name Ezekiel means seized by God. Later on in the book of Ezekiel, it would also have another meaning: to be strengthened by God. The time here is about between 593 and 571 BC, Jeremiah's ministry that he's part of right now. Ezekiel is also a contemporary to Jeremiah and Daniel. And many of us are familiar with the book of Daniel: Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, the fiery furnace, Nebuchadnezzar. We're familiar with that. Well, Jeremiah, also known as the weeping prophet, was dealing with captive Jews at this time. He was dealing with the ones, and he was settled in more towards Egypt, whereas Daniel was part of the court, the king's court. And at this time, Jeremiah would be an older man. Right now, though, Ezekiel is ministering to those who are scattered and forced into Babylon. In fact, it's down by the rivers of Babylon is where this ministry will take place, where these visions and these prophecies will take place that the Lord has for his people. They were scattered. The Jewish culture was completely scattered. It was completely captive by idolatry, by false worship. People had turned their backs against the Lord. There was dispensation all over the place. They had scattered all abroad. And there was a remnant here that wanted to turn back to God. You see, when Jeremiah was proclaiming the word of the Lord and prophesying, yes, he was known as the weeping prophet, But the weeping in the morning was that the Lord said, go and lament over these people. We saw the heart of the Lord with Jeremiah, that he lamented. He wanted to pour tears out and cry to the people to turn back to the one true living God. And here tonight, Ezekiel begins his ministry about 5 years after being taken into captivity. And in many ways, he spoke during the darkest days of the nation's history. They were near the rivers of Babylon. He had to meet with false teachings, false prophecies. He had to deal, as a pastor, as a minister, he had to deal with the effects of false prophets, of false teachings. Because in that time of Jeremiah, the big rebuke from the Lord was against the false prophets who were stating that everything was going to be good and we were going to go back to Israel and you're going to have your home back and life's going to be good. Everything's going to be good. There were false prophets. Even in this day and age, we have false prophets telling us that, hey, life is good. Everything is just good. It's perfect. Hey, your best day's today. Have a purpose-driven life. Have joy. Have money. Have blessings. All this garbage. This stuff is doctrines of demons, the Bible says. There's no blood. There's no cross. There's no death, burial, and resurrection. And if you take that away, then you might as well end up like Solomon and say, well, drink and be merry, for tomorrow we die. If you take all that away, we have no hope. We have no future. And those were what these false prophets were preaching, and that's what Jeremiah was really lamenting over at this time. And I have to believe that at that time, Ezekiel, as a young man approximately 30 years old here, had to be a witness to Jeremiah's ministry at some time. He had to have heard the words of Jeremiah in Israel at the time. He had to meet up. The Bible doesn't say that he ever met with Daniel, or Daniel and Jeremiah never met up, but definitely Ezekiel makes reference to Jeremiah's prophecies in this book. So I have to believe that he was there to witness that lamenting and that mourning over people to stop listening to false prophets and false garbage and false doctrines. And so now here we have Ezekiel who's dealing with a remnant of people. And he's sent out to not only convict, but to exhort and correct this false hope that was given to them. He was dealing with broken-hearted repentance, people who were led astray. And in this day and age, pastors that preach the gospel in the pulpit, we got to keep them in prayer, brothers and sisters. We got to keep them in prayer because the stuff that they're unwinding and these knots that they're undoing from false teaching and false hope, and when things crash and get burdensome in our lives, we go through trials and tribulation and we're not filled with the true doctrine, with the full counsel of God's Word, and things don't go right, then who do we blame? Oh, God must not love me. God must not care. Because they were never instructed that, hey, you will go through tribulations. You will go through trials. Jesus said, but be of good cheer because I have overcome the world. Our future and our hope is not rest on this earth. Our future and our hope is eternity. Eternity, that's forever. Our destination, forever. No ending in sight. Forever. Here is temporary. I could be caught up tomorrow. We never know what day we're going to leave this earth. But eternity and our hope and our future rests in Jesus Christ's arms and having that personal relationship with Him. And so consequently, pastors this day and age that are preaching the Word and standing on God's truth are dealing with the hurts and it from the misguided false prophecies, false teaching. And how sad it is that even we see here 2,500 years ago that we see the same problem that Jeremiah is dealing with here. He's dealing with unwinding the hurts, the burdens, and those who were misled by these false prophets. He's dealing with all the unwinding the garbage, unwinding. You know, if you've ever had a rope or an extension cord that sits in a shed and it gets moved around a bunch, somehow the thing always bunches up into this crazy knot and you spend an hour trying to get the thing out. Well, he's undoing these spiritual knots in these people's lives because they were misled. the simple gospel, the simple gospel truth that Jesus Christ came and died for our sins, took our place on the cross. He died, was buried 3 days later, resurrected, and now he sits at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. And there is no other name by which we can be saved than Jesus Christ. And these people were misled, and Ezekiel was consequently dealing with these hurts. The theme in the book of Ezekiel, the number one theme, is this phrase that the Lord repeats 65 times in this book. They shall know that I am the Lord. They shall know that I am the Lord 65 times in this book. God's heart towards his people was that they would know he is the Lord. And the people today that are turning their backs on the Lord and searching for love and happiness and peace and joy, they're searching for it in all the wrong places. And they're finding no comfort, no peace, no rest, filled with anger, filled with bitterness, envy, jealousy, waiting to live this life. They want to be loved and they don't know where to find it. You can only find it in the person of Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can fix that. And Pastor Joe would attest to this. I will attest to this, that I've looked for love in every other direction and every other thing this world has to offer. And I found no peace till I came to Jesus Christ broken and said, help me, Lord, because I can't do it anymore. And he took this high school dropout sinner saved by grace and put me back on my feet, dusted me off, and the fact that he would want to even use me is amazing. And he wants to use each and every one of us for his glory, because that's the awesome God we serve. Nobody's left on the sidelines. He calls us all, go out and be ministers. Go out and comfort one another, exhort one another, lift each other up. So the theme in Ezekiel is, they shall know that I am the Lord. As I stated earlier, that these particular remnant of people who wanted to turn back to the Lord, they were down at the rivers of Babylon. If you would with me real quick, let's turn to Psalms 137, and then we'll get back to Ezekiel here. Turn with me real quick to Psalms 137. You'll find it about four books to the left. The psalmist wrote an occasion of this time when the remnant were down here in Babylon captive. The psalmist writes in Psalm 137, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hung our harps upon the willows in the midst of it. For there those who carried us away captive asked of us a song, and those who plundered us requested mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. Verse 4, how shall we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? They were broken. They were broken. Down at the rivers of Babylon, hanging up their harps. They were brokenhearted. And there was a remnant that desired, we want to turn back to God. But, and yet, at the same time, Babylon had held them captive. And not, it wasn't enslaved. They weren't captive in being enslaved. They were, much like today, being captive and told where their borders could be. They were being told which land they could be at, that Babylon could take over their land. Much like today, I seem to recall, I'm hearing almost every day, how there are individuals and there are nations and countries that want to remove the borders of Israel today and tell them where their land is. Shame on them. And God have mercy on them. Even back then, they wanted to tell Israel which land is theirs and where they can go. Yeah. The apple of God's eye. You're going to tell them where to go and where they can stay. Those are God's people, his chosen, his elect. As nothing is going to happen to Israel. Everybody who's came against Israel, as Pastor Joe has shared, Israel has been the pallbearer. And it's God's people. Back to Ezekiel 37, and we'll get into the word. Verse 1 of 37 says this, the hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord. and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. God now gives Ezekiel this vision, and he's going to ask him to prophesy in this vision. God's going to give him a word of prophecy. Previously, Ezekiel had prophesied to the mountains. In the previous chapter, we saw a beautiful promise, Ezekiel 36:26. It was the first verse I really took to my heart when I got saved. And he says that I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. God says that he will take a heart of stone and give us a heart of flesh, and he will put his spirit in us. And we just saw that in Ezekiel 36. And now he goes into the next prophetic vision that the Lord gives Ezekiel. And he says he saw it was full of bones in this valley. Full of bones. In verse 2, then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. What a vision this must have been for Ezekiel. A valley full of bones, dried bones. You know, in the Jewish culture, they always bury their bones or put them in a tomb. They were preserved or put near relatives, their ancestors. Bones are very dear to the Jewish culture, and to have bones laying out in the open was usually a sign of disgrace and shame. And so right off the bat, we see these bones not only as a picture of Israel at the time because they had turned away from the Lord, not only a picture of Israel, and not only do we see it as a picture of the shame and the guilt when our back is turned to the Lord, but we also see the bones as the picture of the church today. And so as we continue here, verse 3, he says, and he said to me, son of man, can these bones live? Ezekiel says, and he answers, O Lord God, you know. Very important for us as believers that when the Lord demands a question or an answer from us, or something is going on in our life and we're searching for an answer, very important to know that the Lord knows. What an answer for Ezekiel to give. He says, Lord God, you know. Do you know that God knows absolutely everything? Nothing goes by him. There's nothing that passes by he does not notice. There's not a hair on your head that he does not know about. There is not a tear that has been shed by his saints that he has not preserved in a bottle. His word says that he is very, very near to us. His love for us, his immense agape love that he sheds on our lives. He is so close and dear to each and every one of you. Except the world will tell you that you're created to just be your own man or be your own woman. Get what you can. Get while the getting's good and take off. Just be yourself, they say. And God says that he's got a purpose for us. He's got a plan for our lives. Why would we have a creator, a sustainer of the universe, so near and dear to us, who knows every hair on our head, who knew us before even the foundations of the earth were laid, the Bible says, to have so close to us and not have a plan for our life? I mean, amazing, amazing love that the Lord has for you and me. And he knows everything. He knows absolutely everything you're going through. He knows where you've been. He knows everything about our lives. He knows where he wants us to go in our life. He wants to direct our path. He wants to give us guidance we need. He wants to be that loving father, you know, and hold his son or daughter's hand. You know, carry us through the storms. Get us through the trials of life. Strengthen our faith. Grow us up in our faith. And Ezekiel knew this. You know, he says, you know, Lord. And when the Lord said, son of man, can these bones live? What a trip that must have been to see this image of all these bones in this valley and have the Lord say, can these bones live? Well, of course not. In human thinking, when we think in our human thoughts and our thought pattern, of course they can't. But nonetheless, Ezekiel, right on, man. He says, you know, Lord. Again, he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. hear the word of the Lord. You know that John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, tells us that Jesus was the Word who became flesh and dwelt among us. That the Word is our Lord Jesus. The Bible tells us, he says, speak the word of the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you and you shall live. Speak and hear the word of the Lord. And he says, you shall live. You know, it has been said that Ezekiel is known as the prophet of the Spirit, where Isaiah is the prophet of the Son, and Jeremiah is the prophet of the Father. Because we see the heart, definitely we see the heart, and the working of the person of the Holy Spirit in this chapter. Ezekiel, going through all these struggles, dealing with these hurts, reestablishing their faith. Remember, there were false prophets everywhere at this time. And they had people twisted up. And the Lord says, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you and you shall live. He says, I will put sinews on and you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. There's that verse. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. Wow. What a vision that Ezekiel saw here. You know, once again, you know, you don't need to go to the movie theaters and you don't need to go to Hollywood to find some crazy stuff. Because here we're going to see these bones become these zombies waiting for life to get breathed into them. It's quite a trip. You know, Hollywood tries to do this stuff. Hollywood tries to do these. The zombie thing is big right now, right? Well, the Lord did it first, so, ha. Hollywood tries to copy it. God did it first. You know, he raised the dead. You know, everything we try to do, everything that man tries to do on this earth, God has done it so much better and so much more perfect than we could ever try to accomplish. You know, it seems that this day and age the world is just trying to make their own way, make their own gods, their own worship, you know, go their own way, create their own things, and without remembering that there is a creator. You know, you weren't made from some plasma, some goo, and I hate to tell you, but you weren't made from a lizard that climbed up on a tree and perched there for a million years and, you know, somehow grew wings and then became a bird, which went into the ocean and it lost its wings and got a fish tail, and the fish tail climbed on land. And, you know, but they make it sound like, hey, this is how it really happened. That's what they're teaching in the schools. You know, evolution is crazy in the schools right now. And there's nothing to stand on. It's a lie. But they're teaching it to the children. They're teaching this stuff to the children. Another thing that we get to unwind, just ministering to people. Kids who are told that, you know, just crazy stuff. And I see it with even the little kids in ministry, some of the stuff that they're dealing with in public schools. And it is absolutely crazy. It is absolutely crazy. There is no foundation and no truth and no facts to support the theories that they're teaching the kids. It's just an opinion to avoid dealing with sinful nature of man. You know? And wasn't that the hardest thing for many of us when we were saved and before we came to that point, was admitting that we're wrong? Admitting that, hey, I need a Savior? Yeah, it is tough. Getting to that brokenness, when God uses different any ways that He chooses, I know all of us here have a different testimony on how God brought us to that place of brokenness. You know, some of us a little harder than others, some of us a little more loving. God used all these different ways to woo us to Him, that we would come to Him and say, hey, I need a Savior. So He says to breathe these and He'll give these bones life. He says He'll put the flesh on them, He'll cover them, He'll put skin on them, and He'll breathe in them, and they shall live. And the end of that verse there, then you shall know that I am the Lord. And that's the key scripture tonight. And that is my prayer tonight, is that when we would leave this place, we would know that Jesus is Lord. That we would know that there is one Lord. We would know that there is one mediator between God and man, and that is the man, Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody, no one, zip, zilch, nothing comes to the Father but through me. Only Jesus Christ, the simple truth. And I pray that tonight we would know that we would have that revelation tonight, that we will know that the Lord is God. And this Lord is madly in love with you. This God, this mighty God that we get to serve, who saved us, is madly in love with each and every one of you. And a love that we can never comprehend here. A love so far beyond human love. A love so far beyond even the love that parents have for their children. It's agape love. It's a love that comes from God. And it's a love that we won't truly grasp fully until we see Him face to face one day, when He wipes away every tear, takes away all the pain and sorrow. So important to know who the Lord is. And he ends right there. On verse 7, Ezekiel says, so I prophesied and I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. What a trip. Okay? Remember the hip bones connected to the thigh bones. I was thinking about that earlier, and I was going, what a trip that must have been to see this valley of bones start coming together and, you know, building up these. And I have to imagine that they look like what we think are zombies now. You know, here comes the flesh on them, and they're just kind of like breathless, but still put together. What a trip this must have been. But it's important to also see that there was this loud sound that's rattling. And actually, when you translate that in the original Hebrew, that you see that rattling and that sound, it was almost like earth-shattering boom. It was not just like, you know, it wasn't just like a bunch of little bones clicking together. No, it was like a loud rattling sound, like earth-shaking sound. And boom, this whole valley of bones starts coming together and building up. And it's important to see that they had no breath in them at this time. And folks, I just want to pause right here for a moment. This word breath is so important. In the Hebrew, it's ruach. It is such an important word. It means, not only does it mean breath or breathe, it means spirit. And it's so important to see that they had no spirit in them. Okay, they were put together. They were animated. They were moving and making different movements. But there was no spirit in them yet. And folks, this is where the church comes into play, especially the church here in America. You know, these huge, huge churches, these what they call the mega churches. There's no spirit there. It's like Ichabod. The spirit has departed. It's a bunch of candy, cotton candy, feel good, no cross, no blood. Gay marriage is okay type of feel good environment. But you know, when Jesus went to the cross for our sins, I tend to think that it didn't feel too good. I tend to think that the one time in all of history that Jesus, the Son of God, would be separated from God Almighty, the Father, and from the Holy Spirit, they would not even be able to look at Him, complete separation for our sins. I tend to think that that didn't feel too good. And I don't think that the Lord wants to give us our best day right now. He wants us to be warriors for Him. He wants us to stand on the truth of His Word. He wants us to persevere through the storms, through the power of the Holy Spirit, through His Word, through prayer, through obedience. He wants us to become strong in our faith. And folks, in this day and age, with all this stuff that's going on in the church, my heart breaks. My heart breaks over these mega churches that aren't preaching the blood, that are taking out the cross, because they're just like a bunch of animated bones. There's no spirit there. Making loud sounds, got the fog machine going, got the disco lights spinning, got all this crazy stuff, guys making weird faces doing lead guitar riffs, just all this crazy stuff. Making a loud sound, but there's no spirit. There was no regeneration here. There was commotion. No regeneration yet. These bones had skin, but there was no regeneration yet. There was no spirit. Verse 9, he says that, also he said to me, prophesy to the breath, the spirit, if you will. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. And here's the important part for us as believers. To know that we're walking in the Spirit. That we have the Spirit of God in us. And the same power that raised Christ from the dead now dwells in us. Now dwells in us. That dunamis power. I hope you know tonight how much power dwells in you. Because for the saints who are looking forward to persevering and looking forward to the strengthening of their faith, we need to know that we have the power of God dwelling in us. Amen? We have that dunamis power. A power that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in us. And you know, I went through a surgery months ago. Ruptured my Achilles. Man, that was painful. It was painful, but I would be in tears on that verse. Trying to do things, simple things I couldn't do anymore. Just broken. And God used that in a tremendous way in my life. But I stood on that. And people ask me how I'm doing. I'd say, well, the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me. I'm doing fine. I get by. God's going to hold me up and get me through it. And God is always faithful. Through our trials, through our tests. It's just important to remember that we are not just powerless as saints, as followers of Jesus Christ. He says that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world, meaning Jesus Christ. We have dunamis power through the person of Jesus Christ, through the person of the Holy Spirit. Man, we got strength. We got strength, church. And we're going to need to draw on it because times are going to come. Jesus said there is going to be times of trials, tribulations. There is going to be a time when we have to stand on the Word of God and on the promises of God and walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. And here he says, breathe. Come those four winds, breathe and breathe on these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded, and breath came into them and they lived. They stood on their feet. And check this out. This is so cool. Stood on their feet an exceedingly great army. Man, that's awesome. For the believer, man, we were dead. And now we're alive in Christ Jesus. And we are part of God's army. We are called to be a part of His army. To put on our battle gear, the armor of God. To put on the full armor of God. And know that we're not in a playground, but we're in a battlefield. And we are called to be a part of God's army. And check this out. As soon as the power of the Spirit enters into them, an exceedingly great army. What was once bones that were shameful, abandoned, laid open, waste, dried, couldn't be used for nothing. God put them together, got them up on their feet, put the skin on their backs, and breathed His Spirit into them, and they had life. And they were an exceedingly great army. That's what God wants to do with His church today. And that's why it breaks my heart, and I'm sure it breaks Ezekiel's heart, and it breaks Pastor Joe's heart, and anybody's heart who preaches the full Word of God, is that people are getting led astray today. people are being misguided today by a false gospel and saying that you need to send this in to be saved, or you need to pay this to be saved. The church does not need anybody's money. God does not need our money. He wants our hearts. He wants our love. That's why He died for us. He doesn't care about all that stuff. He wants our hearts. He wants fellowship with us. And, you know, maybe somebody here tonight has heard some different gospel or some different truth out there. But the simple truth is that Jesus Christ loves you. He doesn't need anything but your heart. He wants you just as you are. You know, He says, come to me all who are heavy laden, all who are weary. Jesus says, I'll give you rest. He doesn't say, just come to me, some of you. Or just come to me if you've got this amount in your bank account and you're willing to sow a seed of faith. He doesn't say any of that. He says, come all. Sinner, saint, come all, and He will give us rest. You know, this valley here, as I said, it does represent the nation Israel at the time. God is prophesying a promise here that He is going to restore that nation. He's going to restore His people. He's going to breathe life into them. Verse 11, then He said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, our bones are dry, our hope is lost, we ourselves are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Then, here we go again, then you shall know that I am the Lord. He says, Israel, O my people, I'm going to bring you back. I'm going to bring you back. This is also a prophetic statement here that God will reestablish the nation of Israel, which He did. And we saw that after World War II in 1948, we saw Israel reestablished as a nation. He says, I'll bring you up out of the graves. He says, I will bring you up out of the graves and I will put you back in your land. I will bring you back. You know, in the history books when I was a kid, and I don't think they're in the history books anymore, but when I was a little child in the history books, I remember seeing a picture of millions of open graves of the Holocaust and what happened from that terrible event. Slaughtered 6 million, slaughtered Jews lay in open graves. I remember seeing those images, and it was so prevalent in school. That I remember saying, wow, this is just evil. I knew in my heart this was evil. Now in the schools they're trying to teach that the Holocaust never happened. Trying to remove a lot of things out of the history books now. There were 6 million open graves. But you know what? Out of that, you know what the Lord did? He began to work on the hearts of the people. The heart of the world, all of a sudden, became compassionate and sympathetic towards the Jewish people. The Lord did a work there. And out of all that chaos, their homeland would be carved out of the Middle East, establishing Israel as a nation. So God did use that. And there was a great sacrifice paid there. And how sad it is that our schools now are, amongst all the other junk we were talking about earlier, trying to teach that there was no Holocaust, trying to remove that and say it didn't happen. As the Lord said to Ezekiel to prophesy to them, you know, we saw He started with the Word of God. And that, maybe there's someone in your family or someone you're near to, someone you know you might work with, and you're just thinking, man, these guys or gals are just dry bones. There's no way they're going to live. Let me just encourage you, as the Lord said to Ezekiel, to prophesy them and hear the words of the Lord, that I believe the Lord would tell us the same thing to tell those people. Give them the word of the Lord. Feed them scriptures. encourage them with Scripture. You know, oftentimes listening and just being there is a part of it, a big part of it. But we need to come back with the Word of God. When they're going through struggles, we need to come alongside with Scripture, with the inerrant, perfect Word of God. That's where we find life, is in the Word of God. And I believe that the Lord would tell us to go and speak His Word to these people. When we believe that their bones are dry and they could never live, God has a plan and a purpose. And we need to be those who come alongside, love those people who don't know, that we bring them the Word of God, that we nurture them in the truth of God's Word, and lead them on the right path, that the Spirit of God might one day dwell in them when they come to the saving grace of Jesus Christ, that they would be filled with the Holy Spirit. And it's so important to not give up on those dry bones. God can use anything, and He can make something out of absolutely nothing, because He's God. And, you know, He's done that with all of our lives, those who are saved here tonight. He took a dead, dry bag of bones and brought life to us. And how grateful we are, Lord. God's Word never returns void. Isaiah 55 tells us that His Word comes back and it never returns to Him void. God's Word always goes out and does exactly what it sets out to accomplish. And we need to stand on that. The inerrancy and the perfectness of God's Word, the truth of God's Word. These bones were put together. They needed life. We see a beautiful picture here. I don't want to miss this tonight. When He says that first He gave them the Word of God and then the Spirit of God. And it's the same when you take the Word of God, and then we know that Jesus was the Word made flesh. We need Jesus, and we need a filling of the Holy Spirit. And in John 3, Jesus made it very clear that verily, verily, He said, I say to you, unless you are born again, you shall not see the kingdom of heaven. Nicodemus was confounded. He couldn't understand it. And Jesus tried to explain the movement of the Holy Spirit and being filled with the Holy Spirit, being born again. You believe in Jesus Christ, that you believe that He went to the cross for your sins. You believe He died and rose again, and you believe that He is Lord. He is Master, and you ask the Lord to fill you with His Holy Spirit, that you would be Spirit-filled and have life. And we see those two right here in plain sight. We see Jesus, we see the Holy Spirit. We see the commandments coming from the Lord. We see the Trinity right here, folks. All three right here. Don't miss that. Don't miss what we're seeing tonight. We can go into prophecy. We can go into, there's a lot of prophecy here tonight. There's a lot of different routes you can take. But the simplicity and the things that we need to take and apply to our lives as believers is the simple truth of God's Word. That the bones only come to life in one way. It's the Word of God, Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the only way we live. Otherwise, we're zombies, man. We're walking around bobbing our heads like little babies when they walk. They kind of just don't have much guidance going on. We need that life. He says, in the breath, verse 10, so I prophesied as He commanded. The breath came into them. And they lived, they stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. And then He said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. Therefore prophesy, say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. I wanted to repeat that again. I want that deeply embedded in us here tonight and deeply embedded in our heart. The bones are dry, the hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off, but God has a plan for our lives. He has a plan for that family member, that friend, that coworker, that person you know that you've been praying for. That even though the hope is lost, the hope is lost, they're feeling cut off, they're feeling like their bones are dry. God has a purpose for their lives. And you shall know that the Lord is God. When I have opened up your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves, I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. And here we see it again. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord. Wow. You know, Ezekiel was preaching at a time when their spiritual unfaithfulness was running rampant. And he was reminding the people of God's faithfulness here. That even when we are faithless, God is faithful. Do you know that? Do you know that God is always faithful? Do you know that God is perfect? All his statutes are perfect. His ways are perfect. And we get to be called through being born again, through Jesus Christ and being filled with the Holy Spirit, we get to be called children of God. It's mind-blowing. But that's what he has planned for our lives. To give us life. You know, in John 5, verse 21, Jesus said, "For as the Father raised the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he will." It's all wrapped up in Jesus Christ tonight. Yes, the prophecy is awesome because the nation of Israel was rebuilt. And further down this chapter, if we get there tonight, we will see that he's going to prophesy even after the rapture, end times, that all of Israel will be saved. We'll see another prophecy, and those are great. Everything's perfect in God's word. But I don't want us to miss the important thing tonight. And that is Jesus Christ. It is all about Jesus Christ here. Everything. Because he gave us everything. He gave us this new life. He paid the price that we could never pay. A fallen and sinful man that could not look on a perfect and just God. No matter how hard we tried, we could never be perfect enough for God to look upon us. We could never be perfect enough. We tell one lie, we're not making it. You know, we steal a piece of candy as a kid, we're not making it. You know, the statutes of God are very demanding, and nobody can fulfill them other than the person of Jesus Christ, which is exactly why he came. We could not pay that price. We could not fulfill all those commandments. We could not walk perfectly. We tried. How'd it work out for you? How's it working for you? I know where I came. I came to a point where I was like Nebuchadnezzar and Daniel. I was eating grass on the ground. I felt like an animal. My mind was gone. They said I was schizophrenic and all kinds of crazy stuff. I was toasted, man. I was fried out. My bones were beyond dry. I think they were like turning into powder. They were gone. I was toasted. But Jesus brought me life. He brought me life. He gave me his Holy Spirit, filled me with the Holy Spirit, and gave me life. Jesus said that he is the way, the truth, and life, and nobody comes to the Father but through him. And once again tonight, it's all wrapped up in Jesus. Again, verse 15, again, the word of the Lord came to me saying, "As for you, son of man, take a stick yourself and write on it for Judah and for the children of Israel, his companions. Then take another stick and write on it for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and for all those and all the house of Israel, his companions. Then join them one to another for yourself into one stick, and they will become one in your hand. And when the children of your people speak to you saying, 'Will you not show us what you mean by these?' say to them, 'Thus says the Lord God, surely I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim, and the tribes of Israel, his companions, and I will join them with it, with the stick of Judah.'" The two will become one stick, and they will be one in my hand. And you see, at this time, Israel was known as the northern kingdom. Judah, of course, is known as the southern kingdom, and there was this division there. there was this heavy division there. Judah, for the most part, was trying to live godly. They did an okay job for a while, but then eventually they fell into idolatry, false worship, worshiping false gods. But the two were divided. And God says that I'm going to bring them together as one. And what God is talking about here is what the Bible talks about in many different places, how all of Israel will one day be saved. And listen, after the rapture of the church, there's going to be a movement of the Holy Spirit on Israel. There's going to be a movement like never before. And the Bible states that all Israel will be saved. And what he's talking about is bringing those two together, back together. And check this out. And then say to them, thus says the Lord God, surely I will take the children of Israel from among nations. He'll bring them all. Wherever they have gone, he'll gather them from every side and bring them into their own land, to Israel. And I will make them one nation in the land, on the mountain of Israel, on the mountains of Israel. And one king shall be king over them all, and they shall no longer be two nations, nor shall they ever be divided into two kingdoms again. They shall not defile themselves any more with their idols, nor their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions, but I will deliver them from all their dwelling places which they have sinned, and will cleanse them. Then they shall be my people, and I will be their God. What a wonderful prophetic statement here on what God is going to do with Israel. And God has a plan for his people. And folks, we as a nation need to really examine ourselves when we think we can tell Israel what to do. I mean, we really need to pray for our leadership. Because God has a purpose and a plan for Israel. The apple of his eye. And we need to really watch and pray and ask, plead for mercy, that our leadership would try to tell Israel where they can go and what they can do. It's crazy. One day, he will bring it all together. No more division. He will bring Israel together, and he will save Israel. He makes that very clear. And I love this, though, because this is the truth, and we're going back to Jesus right here. In verse 24, he says, David, my servant, shall be king over them. They shall have one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them. When he says, David, my servant, that would be translated, son of David, which we know is Jesus Christ. That Jesus shall be king over them. And they shall have one shepherd, Jesus. They shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them. Then they shall dwell in the land that I have given to Jacob, my servant, where your fathers dwelt, and they shall dwell there. They, their children, their children's children forever. My servant David shall be their prince forever. We know that Jesus is our Prince of Peace. He shall be their prince forever. Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them, and it shall be an everlasting covenant with them. I will establish them and multiply them. I will set my sanctuary in the midst forevermore. My tabernacle also shall be with them. Indeed, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. The nation also will know. Here we go again with that. The verse says, I pray that this is embedded into our hearts tonight. And they will know that I, the Lord, sanctify Israel when my sanctuary is in their midst forever. That we would know that the Lord is God. That we would know that there is one Lord. Three persons, one Lord. That He is the Lord God alone. That we would know that tonight. That we would know that one day every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And I pray that tonight, if you have not given your life to Jesus Christ, that you would bow down tonight and you would confess tonight, because nobody promises you tomorrow. And you do not want to be confessing that Jesus is Lord on the side of not being born again and not filled with the Holy Spirit, because when you see God face to face and you do not have Jesus Christ in your heart, you will be cast away. It will be too late. And so I pray that tonight you would confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. because nobody's promising any of us tomorrow. And today is the day of salvation if you do not know Jesus Christ. Today is the day you give your life to Him. Today can be the day that you say, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I want life in my bones because this life hurts. This life hurts. Everything is going wrong. Your heart is telling you even right now, you need Jesus Christ in your heart. You need the filling of the Holy Spirit. You need to have that life breathed into you. And it only comes from Jesus Christ. That's why He went to the cross. He suffered and died in our place, that we could have a personal relationship with Him. That we could say, Lord, I need You. And He'll say to us, then you now know that I am the Lord your God. And I want you to be my people. Because He's always waiting with open arms. He says, come as you are. And He will be the supreme ruler. Jesus Christ will be Lord over all. And one day, don't wait. Because one day could be too late. Nobody promises you tomorrow. And that, our prayer tonight is that if you do not know Jesus Christ, do not leave this sanctuary without Jesus in your heart. You do not want to meet the Lord face to face in shame because you never received His love. Nobody wants to go through that eternal separation from God. It'll be too late at that point. Where do you stand tonight? Where do you stand? Are you like the dry bones that have flesh? They're moving around and making commotion. Man, I've been there. That's a horrible place to be when you're trying to do everything on your own strength and in your own merit. You can't do it. You need to have Jesus Christ. You need to have Him in your heart. And tonight, if you do not have Jesus in your heart as Lord and Savior, tonight we're going to give you an opportunity to receive the greatest gift the world has ever seen and ever known. The Son of God, God Almighty Himself coming into sinful man's world and paying the price for our sin. It's a love gift. It's that agape love, that love from above. Don't reject the love of Christ tonight. Don't reject His mercy and grace that He wants to pour out on your life. And for the believer, times will get difficult. And if you're following Jesus, you can see what's happening already. And I know many of you are going through struggles and trials and tests. Your faith is being stretched. But Jesus would say, be of good cheer, for I've overcome the world. And we can stand on that tonight. Folks, we need to stand on the Word of God. Because this is what's going to carry us through. It's not the latest book or the latest fad. It's the Word of God, the relationship with Jesus Christ, the filling of the Holy Spirit. So tonight, as we close, could we all just bow our heads for a moment, close our eyes? This is a very, very important night. There are those that don't know Jesus that are here tonight. And Lord, You know their names. You know every hair on their head, Father. I pray that Holy Spirit, You would just send Your Holy Spirit to speak to their hearts right now. Let them taste that life. Just touch their hearts and let them know how much You love them, Lord. If you're here tonight and you don't have Jesus in your heart as your Lord and Savior, I'm going to ask you to slip your hand up if you would like to receive Jesus Christ tonight. With the heads bowed down, there's no shame. There's nothing to be ashamed of. I do not want to see anybody leave here tonight without Jesus in their heart. And if you would like to receive the greatest gift of all, Jesus Christ, I would just love to have you slip your hand up. I want to pray with you. Do not leave this place without Jesus. You've been told the truth. You've heard the truth tonight. The simplicity of the gospel. The love of God. Do not reject His love tonight. He is absolutely in love with you. If you would like to receive Jesus, one last call. slip your hand up, and I'd love to pray with you to receive Jesus. Anybody, before we close? Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you that you do empower us through your Holy Spirit. We thank you that you give us all the tools we need, Lord. Everything we need pertaining to life and godliness, you supply us abundantly with, Lord. And I pray for each and every one of us here tonight that we would stand firm on your word, Lord. That we would not be like that remnant that were brokenhearted and twisted up because of false doctrines, but that we would know where we stand with you, Lord. That we would know where we stand in our spiritual walk with you, Lord. Would you guide us? Would you lead us, Father? We praise you, Lord, for this place where we can gather. We praise you for your word, which is truth. We thank you, Lord, that you never change, that you always remain the same and you're always faithful, Lord. We thank you, we love you, and we adore you, Lord. And may you be blessed tonight, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand one last time.